Good morning and welcome to this beautiful Friday morning of Memorial Day weekend. We're celebrating Memorial Day here on The Morning Voice. We're talking about some activities and some commemorations of Memorial Day. We'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get started, I just want to thank everyone who came to the Caruso's Eat and Greet last Tuesday night. That was a great event, wasn't it, Matt?
Sure was. We got some pictures on 1030 The Voice's Facebook page, which I'm sure you're going to share to yours at some point. But it was a great event, and nice to see the listeners, and nice to see everybody having a chance to exchange ideas, talk, and have some great food at Caruso's.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Nice evening.
Eat and greet. That was pretty fun. With me in studio is our co-host this morning, Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Eckerly.
You were at Caruso's event with us. It was pretty good, wasn't it? We cleaned our plates, didn't we?
Yes, we did. The food was great, and the ambiance was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So I want to thank again Caruso's for being one of the sponsors of our Wonder Series, which starts at 8 o'clock here in a little bit. I also just want to mention that I went last night to the City Council forum at the Liggins Center, and Jesse Lugo, our good friend, did a great job talking to the, answering the questions. There was about 9 or 10 candidates there. It went off well, and we've got a big election coming up here in the middle of July, and that'll pretty much determine who is going to be the next city council person, at least from that ward. There is a Republican running in Ward 6, so we'll have a general election there. But it's an important election, so if you need to get to know the candidates, there'll be a couple more forums coming up. And just a shout-out to Jesse for a good job. I know it's nerve-wracking. Having done that a couple of times, it's nerve-wracking to sit in one of those forums and get a question that you may or may not know is coming and having to answer it. He did a great job. So good job, Jesse Lugo. We'd like you to follow us on Facebook. Matt just mentioned that. If you will follow us on Facebook, and yesterday we did a Facebook Live broadcast. We're going to be starting that here in June, where you can follow us live on Facebook and other platforms. And if you'd like to interact with us today, give us a call at 790-2040. And if you have a question for one of our guests, or if you'd like to say something, Matt will take your call, and then we'll see if we can get you on. And today we're celebrating Memorial Day, which is on Monday. And with us, our first guest is Chris Dodge. He is the conductor of the Tucson Pops Orchestra. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. I'm doing just fine.
You are in the beautiful Golden Gate City. You are in San Francisco this wonderful Friday. You've got a family activity up there, but you'll be back on you'll be back over the weekend so that you can conduct on Sunday. Chris, you've been a mainstay in Tucson entertainment for over 30 years. We'll talk in just a moment about the Tucson Pops Orchestra. But could you just share a little bit about Chris Dodge Entertainment, and your role as the executive director of the Tucson Jazz Festival, how all this kind of culminated as you becoming the director of the Tucson Pops Orchestra? You've had a long history in entertainment and music in Tucson, correct?
Yeah, I have. I'm currently the executive director and artistic director of Tucson Jazz Festival, as you mentioned, and I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years now. And before that, I had a long career teaching music in our local school system, which I'm so happy that I was able to do a part of that. I've performed. I was the principal percussionist with the Arizona Opera for 20 years, and I was also the manager of the orchestra during most of that tenure. And I run a production company, Chris Dodge Entertainment, which I've written hundreds, thousands of arrangements and different shows that we use a lot of local musicians, and we tour shows all over the state of Arizona and sometimes onto cruise ships and different things like that.
Yep. So suffice to say, you have been very active in the music and entertainment scene over the last few decades and done a great job.
Oh, for sure.
Sixto's here with you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just nice to have, something, an output that's positive within our community. And music is like one of those great things that just brings people and our community together. And I'm happy to play a small part in that.
Right. We're going to talk after the break. We'll talk about the big concert coming up on Memorial Day. But wanted to set the background for that and talk a little bit about the history of the Tucson Pops Orchestra. Sixto has a question for you.
Yes, Chris, yeah. Music Under the Stars began in 1955 with George DeMeester and Ernest Hoffman. Could you tell us a little bit about the Tucson Pops Orchestra and the three conductors, George DeMeester, Bucky Steele, and Laszlo Berish?
So, 70 years, this is how long the orchestra's been going on. And when George DeMeester started it, the musicians would sit on the back of a truck or the side of a truck, as I have known it to be. And it was collaboration with the city of Tucson. And through that collaboration is how we got our George DeMeester Pavilion and outdoor facility where the concerts are held today. That came about through that those early years. And then Bucky Steele, he led the orchestra for many years. I had the great honor of knowing him when I first came to Tucson and playing with the orchestra a few times with him. And he came from Tucson High School, and he was a conductor of there. And after he retired, Laszlo Berish, who led the orchestra for a good, I'm going to get the number wrong, almost 30 years, he was also ended up at the end of his teaching career. He taught at Tucson High School as well. And as I just mentioned, I worked in the world of teaching, and guess where I taught? Yep, the flagship of Tucson, and maybe Tucson Arts for sure. In the schools, I worked at Tucson High School as well. So it's been the 70 years of offering free music in the park. And it's one of the few spaces that we have in our community where we can have this style of music be accessible to everybody within the community.
That's great history. We're talking with Chris Dodge, who is the conductor and the charge of Tucson Pops Orchestra. We're going to have a big concert coming up on Monday. Before we talk about that, Chris, you've been the director since 2022. Can you tell us a little bit about the direction that the Tucson Pops Orchestra has gone under your direction and leadership, and what you're trying to do, and how you're trying to make it the Tucson Pops remain historically relevant, but also contemporary and relevant in 2025? So what are you doing that's making the Tucson Pops Orchestra something that people should be going and listening to?
I think as a leader from a historical organization such as ours, it's important to honor the past for sure, and I think I do a good job of that. But at the same time, we have to recognize that we're in 2025, and my approach is to have a much more, perhaps a modern look at what we do on the stage, and also bring in a large variety of local artists. You guys, the quality of artists that we have here in Tucson is unlike any other city I've been in, and I travel and played all over the country, and Tucson has by far the most eclectic, crazy talented amount of artists, unlike anything else, and being able to highlight those artists and the different types of music that we have is truly amazing. So what I like to do is just find arrangements. For instance, last week we had the amazing Catherine Burns come grace our stage, and we did a collaboration with Catherine Burns and Ballet Tucson, and she was singing the music of from the Tapestry album of Carole King. And while that is not the most current music, it is a step forward in having a very wonderful band playing with us, and having amazing vocalists and a collaboration with an amazing organization, here in Tucson, the Ballet Tucson. I love those collaborations and finding the arts together for sure.
That's great. That's a great way to highlight the different organizations and individuals in Tucson to come out and sing under mm-hmm. the stars and perform under the stars. I'm just curious, you have quite a number, I don't know what the number is, of people that are in your orchestra that are What is the number? How many people come out and play with you on a given Sunday?
So our bass orchestra is around 50 musicians. And then, as I just mentioned, we always add in guest artists, you know, 1 to 2 to 30 to 50, depending on the size of the organization and group that we're bringing in.
This seems silly for me to ask this. You'd think I'd know this living here all my life and being down there 1,000 times. Are they volunteers, those people that are playing in the orchestra? Are they volunteers?
No, they are not.
Okay,
this
good.
This is a professional organization, and that's important to know.
It is,
that,
yes.
It's an amazingly high quality of musicians, and these are all people, myself included. This is what we do for a living, and we're relying upon our sponsorships, our grants, and the graciousness of the people who make donations that attend the concerts in order for us to sustain and do what we do.
That's great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big Memorial Day concert coming up on Sunday evening. And what you guys have planned to commemorate Memorial Day and the people that served our country. We appreciate you, Chris Dodge, for what you're doing so far. If you'll hang on, we'll come back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM on this Memorial Day weekend. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. With me in studio is our co-host, Sixto Molina. Good morning again, Sixto.
Good morning, sir.
With us also in studio is Bill Ackerley. Our next guest, John Dwyer, is here from Catholic Cemeteries. And Matt Neely is with us behind the glass. With us from San Francisco is Chris Dodge, who is back there for an event. He'll be back here in Tucson for the Memorial Day concert, a tradition with the Tucson Pops Orchestra, Music Under the Stars, a Memorial Day concert on Sunday. Chris, this is an exciting event, a longstanding tradition with the Tucson Pops Orchestra. Can you share with us a little bit about what's going to be happening on Memorial Day Sunday as you do Music Under the Stars at DeMeester Center at Reed Park?
Yes, I am thrilled to present a program that's honorable to those who have served our country and who have passed. And there's a good amount of music that's representative that works in that light. And as a special guest, and I'm super excited about this, is that we're going to have the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus under the direction of Dr. Julian Ackerley.
I know that guy.
As guest artist with him. You know who that guy
is?
I do. Yeah. And he's got long history, and as you know, he is retiring from the boys chorus after 40 years as the director, and
45
more thrilled
45 years, believe it. Yeah, 45.
Right, and I couldn't be more thrilled and honored to have him here with us for this concert.
You know, he's heading out on Tuesday. They head out for a couple weeks in Greece, and he takes the boys with him, and then that'll be, you know, they'll be singing American patriotic songs and the good old Western songs that they do, plus their traditional boy choir stuff. But this concert here on Sunday night is actually his last major performance as the director of the Tucson Boys Chorus. He'll shift to a title of Director Emeritus, and probably would be back over the years directing some things, but this is his last official public appearance. So we appreciate you giving him the opportunity. Tell us a little bit about the program for the day. I know you've got the DM Air Force Base Honor Guard and some other things happening. Tell us a little bit about the about the program itself.
Have you, and I say this, have you, I know you have, Ed, but I know you, maybe you're, and most of your listeners probably have you ever been to a football game where the boys chorus sings the Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's one of those, there's something magical. I've listened to, I've heard them sing it 100 times, and there's something magical about their voices singing. And of course, that's how we'll start the show with after the honor guard, with the boys singing with the orchestra. Then they're also going to be singing a bunch of patriotic early American songs from "This Is My Country" or "Grand Old Flag," "God Bless America." And we'll salute the armed forces with our armed forces medley. We'll do some spirituals, which the boys' chorus will have a spiritual that they sing as well, some Aaron Copland variations on a Shaker medley. And then I'm really excited about this piece because we've done it with the orchestra in the past, but not with the boys' chorus. There's a song called Hymn to the Fallen that John Williams wrote, and it was for the movie Saving Private Ryan. And it's traditionally done to honor those that passed during World War II. It's an absolutely gorgeous song, very moving. And there's a choir part to it, and the boys will be singing that with us as well. And we couldn't have them on the stage without them doing, you mentioned their traditional Southwestern music. So they'll be doing some roping with us, some Ghost Riders in the Sky, that kind of stuff that is truly unique. No other boys' chorus around the world does that. And we'll wrap up the concert with no better piece than America the Beautiful.
That's great. You know, the boys' chorus has an interesting 85-year tradition. They are the oldest community-based boy choir in the country. And when you think about that right here in Tucson, we house one of the best choral groups in the country. And when they go to Greece and to China and Russia and around the world, they are met with great acclaim. And thanks to you, Chris, because, you know, for many years you have helped my brother with the arrangements of many of the songs and providing much of the background music and so forth that they use to orchestrate their performances. So you guys have had a great collaboration over the years through Chris Dodge Entertainment, and so we appreciate that as well. So I would ask...
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
No, you go. You go.
Oh, no, I just want to say, Julian approached me 25, 30 years ago and asked me to write a few arrangements, and it's been a beautiful collaboration over many, many years, writing arrangements and recording music for the boys to sing and again, play a small part in that world of what they do and how they performed all over the world.
Right. We're talking with Chris Dodge. He's the conductor of the Tucson Pops Orchestra. They have a big concert coming up on Monday. I keep saying Monday because Monday is Memorial Day. The concert is Sunday night, May 25th at 7 p.m. at DeMeester Outdoor Performance Center in Reed Park. There's always, you know, the question of where do I park in the park? And it's pretty easy to get to DeMeester, isn't it, Chris? There's so many parking areas right around the DeMeester Performance Center that especially handicapped and people who have limited mobility, there's plenty of places to park around there. And they bring your chairs and your blankets and a little something to eat and something to drink, and you can have a pretty good experience, right?
I agree 100%. And we have a beautiful city park, and it's going to be a beautiful night. I heard Matt say it's going to be a high of 93 on Sunday. So by the time the concert hits, it'll be in the high 80s. And that's just absolutely gorgeous weather in Tucson. I encourage everyone listening to come check it out. You will not be disappointed.
So I'm gonna ask you one last question. You've been the director since 2022. What's the, for you, Chris, you know, you're involved in so many other entertainment things and music and so forth. What's your greatest humble memory or just grace that you've gotten from being the director of the Tucson Pops Orchestra? What does that mean to you personally and professionally?
Wow. It's a space where I work with great musicians that my sole purpose is to help lead them in the direction that they're already going to go anyway, and just be the conduit where the music comes out. And I really enjoy being able to write arrangements. I think about the musicians. I truly do. Ed, when I'm writing arrangements, like, I wonder if I should write this. Like, these guys can play this. Of course I'm going to write this. Or I know the section players, and it's an honor to be that conduit of music. I truly enjoy it. Yeah.
The professionalism that you have brought to the Tucson Pops Orchestra and the music that you folks make is just second to none. We appreciate your hosting the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. and my brother's last major final concert as he wraps up 45 years. And I'm sure we'll get him back and get him back to directing something in the future. But it'd be great to send him off with Chris Dodge and the Tucson Pops Orchestra. So again, that concert is Sunday night, the 25th at 7 p.m. at DeMeester Outdoor Performance Center. It's free. Bring a lawn chair and bring something to snack on. And when they pass the hat, give generously to support the Tucson Pops Orchestra. Thank you so much, Chris. We'll see you on Sunday night, okay?
I look forward to it. Okay. See you all on Sunday night.
Chris Dodge from the Tucson Pops Orchestra. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. We're on commemorating Memorial Day weekend, talking to some folks who are doing, we got a concert coming up on Sunday night with the Tucson Pops Orchestra and the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. And of course, we have our commemorating all weekend those people that gave their life for the freedom of our country. And Memorial Day is one of those times when we all reflect as a country on the people who have volunteered to keep us free, and we're going to recognize them this weekend. In the studio with me is my co-host, Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, sir.
Good to have you back. You always bring donuts, and the whole staff here in the building thinks it's wonderful. And matter of fact, Matt would speak right now, but he's got a donut in his mouth, so he won't say anything. So, and Bill Ackerley's with us as well. Our guest for this segment is John Dwyer. He is with the Catholic Cemeteries of Tucson, and we'll be speaking in just a little bit about a Memorial Day commemoration that the Diocese of Tucson will hold at the cemetery for those that have fallen. So good morning to you, John.
Morning, Dr. Ackerley.
Welcome to The Morning Voice. And John, you are have been with Catholic Cemeteries for a couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your wife, as a matter of fact, and your involvement with the Catholic Diocese of Tucson, the Catholic Church? We just got a new pope. We had Bishop Kakanis on last week talking about the new pope's, American pope's connection to Tucson. And there's a lot of joy and a lot of activity in Tucson right now. There was a big mass on Sunday with Bishop Kakanis did a mass commemorating the installation of the new Pope Leo XIV. And so the Catholic Church is kind of all abuzz right now. And tell us a little bit about your involvement and how you and your wife got involved here in Tucson with the Diocese of Tucson.
Thank you. So first of all, my wife Elena, we're both new to the Tucson. We love the place. It's a wonderful community. We came here because my wife Elena, she became CEO of Catholic Community Services. And then I came
tell us
along with
tell
her.
Us a little bit about what it is. That is such an amazing organization. Tell us just a little bit about what Catholic Community Services does. It does so much for the community, and a lot of people don't see what they do. But it's an amazing organization. They're doing so much. Just give us a couple of key things that she's working on that Catholic Community Services does.
Yes, one of the latest things is Casa de Respiro,
right?
Which is something I never thought about. It's fairly new for homeless. They go to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and they need a place to recover.
Right.
And
Respiro, that means recovery,
respite
right?
Care, yes.
Yeah, respite care, yeah.
And homeless can go there,
mm-hmm.
even with their dogs, and because that's a very dear
right.
for them. They can stay there until they recover.
Right.
Something,
right.
a new thing. That's one thing that they do. They have senior programs.
Right.
They have very
huge
social
senior
programs.
Socialization,
exactly.
yeah.
It's very vital to the community of Tucson.
Right. So each of the parishes, usually typically every year, has the bishop's drive. There's the drive, and a lot of that extra donations and so forth go to a lot of these activities like Catholic Social Services offers, which is, you know, again, things that people may not see because they don't. It's not out front, but a lot of social services that are helping the indigent, helping those elder people who maybe not have lots of family and so forth, and just a variety of different activities that the Bishop's Drive helps and the Catholic Church through Catholic Social Services helps. Well, you're over at the Catholic Cemeteries. It's, tell us a little bit about how you got connected over at the Catholic Cemeteries.
Sure. So through my wife... Bishop Weisenberger, who is now in Detroit,
right,
and she told me about this position at the cemetery. The interesting thing was that I have always been in banking, technology, healthcare, and the private sector. And when I thought about cemetery, I said, how much accounting is there going to be in a cemetery?
Right.
And I started the job back in October 2023. And I was a little bit apprehensive about the fact that it's a cemetery, you know, right. And how much activity there is. Boy, it's one of my best and most interesting positions okay. I've had. There's lots of opportunities in the financial side, operations side.
Right.
This last year and a half has been a very exciting time for me. We also hired Ernie Duarte. He's our current executive director.
Mm-hmm.
He started with me about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former chairman of the board for the Catholic cemeteries.
Right.
And we worked together, and every day is something very interesting.
Right.
We always strive to make improvements in the cemetery.
Right, right.
There's never enough time.
Never enough time, exactly.
No.
So the cemetery has a rich history. It goes back over 100 years that
yes.
the Diocese of Tucson has been helping families with burials and so forth. And so the main facility is at Holy Hope. But can you just give us a little bit of that perspective of that 100 years plus? It's more than 100 years now of just what the cemeteries mean to not only the Catholic faith, and you know, you're next door to Evergreen Cemetery, which is also a Jewish and non-denominational kind of a facility right next door to you. So that whole complex is really important for, obviously, if you come to Tucson, eventually you're going to die, and having a wonderful place to rest is really important. So the diocese has offered that for a long time, right?
Yes, yes. We are considered a separate legal entity.
Mm-hmm.
From the Diocese of Tucson.
That happened about 20 years ago, right, when they separated specifically from the diocese and became their own entity, and each of the parishes separated and became their own entities at the same time, right?
Exactly, exactly. But we are under the umbrella of the Diocese of Tucson. We are closely with the Diocese of Tucson, with the bishop.
Right.
With currently with Most Reverend Bishop Quicanas,
right,
who has recently been called from retirement.
I think he's actually, he was on last Friday. I think he's actually enjoying it. Shout out to Bishop Quicanas,
yes.
If he's listening. He's a great man. So
exactly. So what we do here, we were open back in 1907. So it's more than 100 years. There is a lot of history. And a cemetery, it is an interesting industry, because generally speaking, in a private sector, you always go back 6-7 years for
right.
taxes. Here, you have to almost be a historian to research when a family does some pre-planning.
Right.
So they could have done their pre-planning 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have to search for records from back then, when maybe there were no computers, there was no electronic records, and so you have to have this kind of ability to be able to be like a researcher, dig through paper records, electronic records, trying to automate everything,
yeah.
and trying to understand the families.
Yeah.
But one thing that stuck in my mind is that, especially since I started, is the importance of pre-planning.
Pre-planning, right.
Someone yesterday was telling me, well, we have our life insurance just in case we die. We have car insurance. We plan for retirement. The life insurance, you may not use it,
right?
Hopefully. Car insurance, from time to time, you may have an accident. But pre-planning is, everybody's going to die
right.
sooner or later. We kind of think that it's going to happen years or a decade from now. But it's important because from a Catholic perspective, you are easing a financial and emotional burden for your family who mm-hmm. has to make arrangements. It also makes it easy for you to make sure that everyone in your family is aware of your plans.
Right.
And it's never really too early. I know when you're in your 20s, 30s, you always think that you're invincible.
Right, right.
But things do happen. You know, we have some young people who die. Mm. But, and also the other thing is about the cemeteries, we are not for profit.
Right.
We are trying to help families.
Right.
We're trying to help families because it's an investment you're putting, and we have flexible plans. We don't charge interest. When things, sometimes someone loses a job and they can't fully pay, we try to work with the family. So we can, they can pre-plan these and then arrange for pay their burial expenses for over 4 or 5 years.
Right. We talk about, lovingly, about Catholics hatched, matched, and dispatched. Hatched meaning that they come to the church when they are baptized and are newborns and get affiliated with the church, matched when they have a matrimony and they become blessed, their marriage is blessed in the church. And they may not have come to church a lot between the time they were baptized and the time they got married. Then they have their own little kids, and then they maybe during that time fall away from the church and come occasionally, and maybe not. But man, when dispatched happens, it's amazing how you come back to the church during that time of need when someone dies in the family and so forth. The church really provides a rock in a storm, and it's great to have the cemetery a part of that. Let's go to a break. We'll come back in just a minute. We'll talk about the great Memorial Day Mass coming up and the other facilities that the Diocese of Tucson has across the southern Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 10:30 a.m. and our observance of Memorial Day weekend. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is our commemoration of Memorial Day weekend, coming up on Monday. We have the Tucson Pops Orchestra playing in the park, music in the park, on Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Meester Performance Center with the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. My brother Julian Ackerley will be concluding his public performances with the Boys Chorus, his last performances that day. Then they head off to Greece for a little while, then he'll come back and officially retire from the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. One of the great Memorial Day events that we have in Tucson is the commemoration of those who gave their life for our country, and so there will be a Mass coming up on Monday at the Catholic Cemetery's Holy Hope. Sixto Molina is with us this morning. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Eckerly.
And our guest is John Dwyer, who is with Catholic Cemeteries of Tucson. So, Sixto, you were going to ask a question about Holy Hope and the facilities, right?
Yes, John, you operate Holy Hope Cemeteries on North Oracle, as well as All Faiths Memorial Park on the east side of town. Can you tell us a little bit about these two facilities, their differences, and how you serve both Catholic families and the community at large?
Sure. One thing that to know was demographics play a big part of the mix between full body burials versus cremation, at least in the analysis that I have done recently. Cremation is a trend that is increasing because on the west side, Holy Hope, there's a large number of families are from a Mexican Hispanic background, more traditional full body burials are more common, although cremations it's increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, for example, if you go to the east, it's completely different. It's the number of cremations is over 60%.
Right.
And
that's All Faith Memorial Park out there. That's Our Lady of the Desert.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so nevertheless, we are increasing the number of space of cremations at our mausoleum in Holy Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And outside cremation niches, because we are very limited on a number of offerings, mm-hmm. and I hope that that's going to increase recently. Now, talking about All Faiths, it was a new concept back in early 80s when it was opened. All Faiths is comprised of a Catholic section, which is a Lady of the Desert. Another is a Desert Vista, which is a non-denominational. So there's side-by-side sections. And then there is also a Muslim section that is owned by the Muslim
Islamic Center of Tucson.
Islamic Center of Tucson, exactly. Right. We have some meetings with them from time to time, and then we have a Jewish section.
Jewish section, right? Desert
also
Vista,
desert. Yeah. So the Jewish section runs their own side, their own that side, but we're all together at All Faiths.
Right. Another unique thing about it is Holy Hope is a traditional style with grass and monuments and so forth.
Exactly.
All Faiths Memorial Park is desert landscaping, and so it's the natural desert, and it's kind of a different experience out there.
Yes, and that's different. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it unique with All Faiths, is that you go there and it's a native habitat.
Right.
So if you love Tucson, the desert, you'll love All Faiths.
Well, let's talk a little bit while we have some time left here about the Memorial Day Mass, which is coming up on Monday, May 26th at 8:30 a.m. at Holy Hope Cemetery. That's conveniently located at Oracle and Prince, main entrance on Oracle there. So this Memorial Day Mass is a tradition in Tucson to honor the brave men and women who gave their lives to our country. So the bishop will be there, right? And tell us a little bit about what's happening at that commemoration.
Yes. So the Mass is going to be held this coming Monday, May 26th at 8:30 a.m. Most Reverend Bishop Kikanas will be presiding the Mass. And it's a special event for us. We commemorate those who have given their life.
Okay, we really appreciate you being here, and invite everybody out to the commemoration of Memorial Day at Holy Hope. And believe it or not, we're at break. And happy Memorial Day weekend, remembering those people that gave their lives. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And, you know, good things are happening at the U of A. And we're so excited to graduate our friend Morgan Murphy, who is off on her escapades of her career. She was great for a year. And we're welcoming Adam Ackerman. He's not here with us today, but starting next week, he'll be with us on a regular basis. And so here we go with great students working at the University of Arizona, doing wonderful things. With me in studio today is Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
We've got a power pack to show today. Bill Ackerley's with us. Matt's behind the glass. And we're going to talk about Memorial Day, and we've already this morning talked about our friends at the Tucson Pops Orchestra, who have a concert on Sunday night at the Meester Performance Center at 7 p.m. to commemorate Memorial Day. And then, of course, we just heard from Catholic Cemeteries will be doing Memorial Day Mass on Monday morning at Holy Hope Cemetery. You can get more information about that online. And then we're talking about Wonder and how the University of Arizona works with veterans and young people who want to join the military. Our guest this morning is Blaze Smith. He's the director of VETS, which stands for Veterans Education and Transition Services. And he also oversees ROTC, which, of course, is the Reserve Officer Training Corps at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Blaze.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley. Thanks
for
having me.
Now, I do have to say, who's your favorite teacher at the University of Arizona? I have to ask that question of all my students.
So. Of course it was you.
Well, good to have you back. You were here last year with us, and we appreciate what you are doing with the veterans and the young people who are choosing to serve our country. And let's just start a little bit about you. You have a really unique story. Just give us a 30-second rundown of how you got your military service and got back into the University of Arizona.
Sure, yeah. I served in the U.S. Navy from 2012 to 2018. I was forward deployed to Rota, Spain, and toured the Mediterranean, Black, and Baltic Seas. And then came back to the University of Arizona in 2018 after I got out, and matriculated through the Veterans Education and Transition Services Program, and got my master's through the University of Arizona as well, and then came back to lead the program now as the director.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So Sixto's going to ask you a little bit about what it's like being in charge of those programs.
Yeah. Blaze, what's your current role and what your day-to-day operation looks like?
Sure. So as the director of VETS and ROTC, my job is to, for the VETS side, make sure that we get our military-affiliated students, that's active duty, reserve, guard, and their families, of course, any support that they need through the university, plus any information or resources that they need through the VA and that system, so helping them navigate that. And then for the ROTC side of things, I have a couple of really fantastic O6s, officers in their respective branches that run those programs. So they very kindly call me their boss, but the reality is that I'm just there to make sure that they get what they need through the university as well.
So I have a follow-up question with regard to ROTC. Do you have a connection with the local high school ROTC programs?
I do not have a connection with the JROTC programs, but I do know that some of them will end up coming through the University of Arizona pipeline.
We're going to make that happen, aren't we? We're going to get that little combination together eventually here. We'll have an eat and greet with the ROTC programs and get all the high school kids excited about going to the...
Awesome.
We're
exactly.
Trying to keep as many kids as we can in Tucson and get them to not want to leave and go somewhere else. Well, you've got some interesting information. You know, we're commemorating Memorial Day and the lives of those people who offered up their lives to keep us free, and that we've had... some commemoration of that at the University of Arizona over the years. There are some big ones that people know a lot about, and there may be some smaller ones that maybe go unnoticed sometimes. So tell us a little bit about some of the men and women who have fallen in defense of our country and what kind of commemorations there are at the University of Arizona for them.
Yeah, right. So for those who aren't too interested in big crowds, you can always do like a nice walking tour of the university. We have a lot of military heritage there. And I can pull up, here's a couple of interesting facts, I think, is that from World War I into and through World War II, we trained 11,000 officers. And during the height of World War II, they were housed in Bear Down Gym and trained through Bear Down Gym and South Hall, as well as Old Main. As you're walking through the university, you could go to Berger Memorial Fountain on the east side of Old Main. I'm sorry, the west side of Old Main. And there is a memorial there for the 13 students killed in World War I. And it's named after the Marine Alexander T. Berger, who was KIA in France, 1917. We also have the Bill Lowell Memorial for the 1942 football team that fought in World War II. Bill Lowell was KIA in Iwo Jima. He was a U.S. Marine. Rue Mattis, U.S. Air Force, he was KIA Philippines. And he was given the posthumous award for the Distinguished Flying Cross. And Stanley Petropoulos, who was KIA in the Battle of the Bulge. And so that's the Bill Lowell Memorial. And then we also, of course, have a very large memorial to the USS Arizona. And that's to remember the 1,177 sailors and Marines lost at the Pearl Harbor attacks at December 7th, 1941. And on the mall, you'll see a outline of the USS Arizona with a bridge in the center. And that bridge has 1,177 names in bronze of every sailor and Marine killed. And across from that, also, you'll find the USS Arizona ship's bell, mm-hmm. which is a pretty amazing thing to be able to see.
Right. Another little thing that they have out in the circle, right out. It used to be in a different place, but now it's out in the circle. there's a memorial in the little circle of where you come up mountain and do a U-turn to go back out. There's all of the dog tags of the people on the ship. Their dog tags are hanging from and then they blow in the wind and they make a noise. And I was just out in the mall a couple of weeks ago with one of my student groups doing a big event there, and it is amazing. The mall kind of fits almost exactly the dimensions of that inner island there where the grass is. That's where the outline of the ship is, and it fits right there in the middle of the mall. It's kind of very interesting to see how big it is, for one, USS Arizona, and that's great. And it's cool that we have all of those names emblazoned on those plaques on the ground. Definitely. It's pretty amazing. So I was teaching over at Saguaro Hall this particular year, and right next door is where the ROTC building is, and just to the west there. And every Wednesday when I would come into class, I'd get there about 7 o'clock in the morning. They were just coming back from training over in the field, and they'd come in their fatigues or some of them in their workout clothes. And, you know, they were probably up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they were just coming back at a little before 7 to get ready to go to classes. But what I would do, and I encourage everyone to do this, when I would walk by a couple of them and they were on their way back to the building, I just thank them for their service and say, you know, thanks for making this choice. And Blaise, I don't know if I'm just dreaming this and thinking this, but as a teacher at the University of Arizona, every time I've had an ROTC young man or woman in my class, and certainly they come in on Wednesdays in their fatigues because that's their practice day or whatever they do, they are the most polite. They're disciplined. They're on time with assignments. They're yes sir, Dr. Ackerley sir. Just their whole demeanor, amazing. And so what you and your team are doing with the young men and women who are engaging in the ROTC program is a really powerful statement to the good things that are going on at the University of Arizona.
Yeah, thank you. They are really exceptional students. And all of the credit has to go to the cadres of the Air Force, Army, and Navy Marine Corps ROTC units. They do an excellent job. They win awards locally and nationally. They are incredible at what they do, and we're very proud of them.
And once they graduate from the University of Arizona, they have an undergraduate degree. Some of them may actually get a master's degree, depending on how long they're there. And then they go directly into the one of the services as an officer, correct? That's the whole purpose of them being at the University of Arizona, is they're skipping the infantry part of it or the sailor part of it, and they're going directly into a low-level position in management as an upper officer, right?
Yeah, they're leaders. So the enlisted group serves under contract. The officers serve at the pleasure of the president.
Right.
So they are given these roles as leaders within the military. So their job is to not only manage but instruct and show them the right way, right? So some of these people will be infantry officers and mm-hmm. directing enlisted folks into combat. So they're very serious roles, and it's probably one of the reasons you see that reflected in their work at the university, because it's a serious job, yeah.
Great. We're talking with Blaise Smith, who is the Director of Vets and ROTC at the University of Arizona, with us our Memorial Day tribute show here on Wonder. We're talking about the good things going on at the University of Arizona, and certainly the good things going on are the students that are learning how to be officers and the commemoration of all those that have fallen who have affiliation with the University of Arizona. Wonder is brought to us by our good friends at Caruso's Italian Restaurant, and our newest sponsor is Hughes Federal Credit Union. We want to thank them for sponsoring the Wonder program at the University of Arizona. Good things going on there. We'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about how we honor the fallen of the University of Arizona, the Wildcats, who have given their life for our country. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. With us in studio is Sixto Molina, my co-host this morning. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, sir.
Bill Ackerley is with us. Matt Neely is with us in the producing box over there behind the glass. And our guest this morning is Blaise Smith, who is the Director of Vets and the ROTC program at the University of Arizona. Our Wonder series is brought to us by Caruso's Italian Restaurant, who's had a 90-year history with serving the University of Arizona population. They're right off of 4th Avenue and 6th Street there, right near the U of A. And, of course, one of the founders of Caruso's was a longtime University of Arizona professor. So Caruso's has a great connection with the University of Arizona, and they proudly sponsor the Wonder Series on Friday mornings, along with our newest sponsor, Hughes Federal Credit Union, who has made a commitment between now and the near future to sponsor Wonder. And as we talk about the great things that are going on, the wonder that happens in research and outcomes and support that we get at the University of Arizona. And one of those great things that happens at the university is Blaise and his team work in the something called VETS, which is Veterans Education and Transition Service, of which, Blaise, you were part of that, and then all of a sudden you're now the director of that. So it's kind of a, you experienced it first, and then you became it after you experienced it, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I really depend on the students to let me know what's going on the ground floor, so to speak. You know, yeah. Once I became a director, I stopped being able to have the perspective of a student, there so I really go. Depend on them to run the program.
That's great. Speaking of students, we wanted to mention, you just went through a litany of people who have sacrificed their life, including the 1,000-plus from the USS Arizona in World War II and all the other memorials that you can kind of do a little walk around the U of A and see the memorials to those who have given their lives for our country and our freedom. And you wanted to highlight specifically Chris Moon. Let's talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, definitely. Chris Moon was a baseball player from Tucson High and a really good baseball player. He was recruited right out of high school to go play for the Atlanta Braves. He chose to go to the University of Arizona instead. And in his first semester at the university, he decided to answer the call to service and became a Army Scout Sniper for the 82nd Airborne. And I'm sorry, he was killed in action in the Kandahar province in Afghanistan by an IED attack. So a hero homegrown right here in Tucson, and a Diné indigenous person as well.
Right, right. And so it's fitting that we on Memorial Day weekend talk about those people that have unselfishly committed their life to service to our country, and that might mean that they lose their life in defense of our country and our freedoms. And so we respect that, and some of these memorials around the University of Arizona depict those people that have given that ultimate sacrifice. So you're in charge of the VETS program, and you yourself were deployed for 4 years as a sailor on out in the middle of the ocean and doing what you do. Well, you were probably on land the whole time, but can you talk a little bit about the VETS program and how important it is? Because you had a wife and a little boy named Griffin, and eventually a young daughter. How important was VETS, and how important was community to you as you were deployed and you've got a young family back in Tucson?
Yeah, so they were actually with me in Rota, Spain when I was there, and I'm a real sailor, just so you know.
Okay.
So I've put over 10,000 nautical miles. I've earned all my sparrows and crossed the meridian and everything.
Okay.
and yeah, in that time, during those deployments, I mean, from 2014 to 18, I probably saw my family for 6 months intermittently. So they really had to depend a lot on each other. And there's a lot of, you know, everyone else from the ship. I was on the USS Porter. Every other service member's family was also left behind to take care of a family and to continue to live life and, you know, buy groceries and do everything that they had to do still. And it was really important for them to have each other. And that was the glue that kept everyone going, right, is that they had support from their community. And that's something that we reflect in the VETS program at the University of Arizona as well, right? So we still have folks whose parents are serving, whose wives and husbands are serving, and they're deployed all over the world. And our job not only is to make sure that they're getting the resources they need for their education, but also giving them the community they need to get them through those hard times. And luckily for them, they're within a group who knows all too well how challenging and what those challenges look like. So we can really come together to support them in any way that they need.
And what are some of those services that VETS provide? Obviously, building of community and the connections, and of course, reaching out and giving them the services that they're entitled to. But it's more than that. It's building community. What all kind of services do you provide? Let's say that a sailor is off and he's off for a year or two, and then they got a young family back here. What do you provide to that family?
Yeah, sure. So outside of just being there for emotional support. We also have some events that we do throughout the year that are geared towards a little bit more fun. Like we have Together Tuesdays. We'll bring in a couple of resources during the school year. And we will invite everybody in for the only thing that gathers college students in reality, yeah. which is free food.
Right.
So we'll get together and have some food and hang out and visit in those regards. We'll try to do some bike rides, hikes, walks with campus rec and things like that, just kind of integrating them into the community in any way that we can.
Right. And building community is really important because that's kind of the focus of what you're trying to do, is trying to build this camaraderie amongst the families that have deployed members and give that support that you had while you were out there. It's the other families that supplied or helped supply that that community foundation for your wife and child.
Exactly.
It's great to have that community built. Sixto, you wanted to ask a question there?
Yes. Blaze, what does ROTC do for students? And can you tell us about the ROTC program and how many students you serve?
Sure. So I'll start at the end because that's the last thing I heard. We have about 300 students, maybe a little more, in the ROTC programs. The goal is to take civilian students who demonstrate academic excellence and move them into a place where they can become leaders in the military. And so that looks a lot like helping them, you know, matriculate through college in one space, but also give them the military culture and knowledge that they need to do the job, right? So they're training in the mornings, like Ed has seen. They're doing PT, physical training, in the mornings at 4 a.m. till 7 every day or every other day. And from there, they'll go and practice drill and practice basic military movements. They have some sandboxes and they'll practice engagements and everything. So it's all encompassing. The goal is to make sure that these students can become leaders in the military.
Well, I can attest to that. One of my son's friends, Shaheen Peña Serrano, went through the ROTC program.
Cool, cool.
And he's now a full bird colonel assigned to the Pentagon.
Wow, that's impressive. And he's from the U of A? He went to the U of A?
Yeah, he went to Pueblo High School, then the U of A.
Excellent.
That's great. Blaze, we're talking with Blaze Smith, who's the director of Vets and the ROTC program at the University of Arizona. So, Blaze, what's something from your time at the U of A, whether in the classroom or through your extracurricular activities with the military and so forth, that still helps you in your professional life? So as the director of Vets and ROTC, what can you draw back to from your time as a student at the University of Arizona, and how does that pull through to what you do today?
Wow, that's tough. I attribute a lot of my successes to my alma mater.
Right.
If I was going to pick one thing in particular, it's that not every day is a successful day, but we work hard and we keep pushing, and we will find ourselves on the other side as long as we keep our nose on the grindstone.
That's great. That's great. And you know, as we observe Memorial Day on coming up on Monday, the men and women who have chosen to serve are very special to us all, and we all thank them for their gift of jumping in and being part of the defense of our country. Blaze, we want to thank you personally for your years of service as a Navy veteran. Thank you very much. And what you're doing for the families through Vets and for the young people who are training to be officers, we appreciate all you do for the University of Arizona community. So thank you, Blaze Smith.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thanks.
This is great. This is the Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. We'll be back with more of Wonder right after the break. Welcome back to the Morning Voice on this Memorial Day weekend as we honor the great men and women who gave their life for our country. Of course, we have the Tucson Pops Orchestra coming up on Sunday night with Music Under the Stars with the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base Color Guard, and a great concert honoring America. And then on Monday morning, we have the Holy Hope Cemetery. We have a mass for remembrance of those people that gave their life for our country. On our first part of Wonder, this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We had Blaze Smith, who's the director of Vets and of of the ROTC program, who's with us still. Thank you for being with us again, Blaise. And Sixto Molina is my co-host here. I want to let you know that the Morning Voice is so happy to have Wonder, having Caruso's Italian Restaurant be our sponsor of the Friday Wonder Series, along with our newest sponsor, Hughes Federal Credit Union. So we thank both of those fine companies for honoring these wonderful veterans on Memorial Day. So Sixto, we have a special guest in the studio with us today, so you get the honors of doing the introduction.
Yes, we do. My most recent newfound hero, Vicente Rivera, a former Marine who served during the Vietnam War. Vicente has written a book called Shoes of an Uneducated Man, and he also published a list of the Pueblo 20, referring to 20 soldiers and military people that died during the Vietnam War from Pueblo High School. And with that, Vince, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I can say you grew up in a little corner in the Yaqui district of the city of South Tucson, and take it from there.
First of all, thank you for inviting me. It's an honor for me to be here. But I was born in Barrio Libre, which is in the be north of Pueblo High School.
Right,
Barrio Libre. And west, yeah. And on 40th Street and 11th, right on the corner. Mm-hmm. My mom's house was torn down. There's another house there now. And I went to Pueblo. I went to Mission View. I went to Wakeview and Pueblo, and then I didn't know what else to do, so I decided, well, maybe I'll join the Marine Corps. Unfortunately, there was a French Indochina thing
going on.
And most of America didn't really understand what they were talking about, French Indochina.
Right.
And once I joined the Marine Corps, I found out that was Vietnam, and of course as soon as I got done with boot camp,
deployed immediately,
to the 7th Marines
What year was that you were deployed?
1965, 66. And from there on, it was keep your head down and your powder dry.
Yeah, exactly.
He said that. Tell us about the way I knew about you is I was looking through Facebook and there was a post of the Pueblo 20. What motivated you to do the research?
Well,
and publish that. Well, that list.
Pueblo was beginning to do something called a Hall of Fame, and they had several people that were being nominated. And I still get involved with the school. I mean, it's fine.
It's in you, right?
Yeah.
I'm
a warrior.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no pun. You're a warrior, both in high school and then also as a Marine. So you're a warrior. Yeah,
I'm a warrior. And so when they were doing that, I suggested, why don't we nominate those 20 for the Hall of Fame? And well, they did an honorable mention to them, which is fine with me, but, you know, because I felt, and I still do, those guys were my compas, my vatos.
Que onda, tatan. So, Blaise, this is, when we're listening to Vicente's story here, this is exactly what you are forming down at the University of Arizona, this heartfelt relationship between the people that serve, but also the community that supports them from behind. It's a really, it's heart touching, isn't it, to see this kind of emotion?
Absolutely. And it's pretty powerful as well. So absolutely. I always love to hear how our community will band together wherever we find each other. And I think it keeps a lot of us going. Right.
It's amazing. So the Pueblo 20 are honorable mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Pueblo.
Pueblo, and they have a plaque somewhere in the school. I haven't been back to the school because I'm too old, obviously, but
don't you have another year of eligibility left? Can you be a football team? Could use you, yeah.
And my kids all went there, and you know, and some of my brothers and sisters. And I come from a big, big family. The Riveras are sometimes negatively known, but
kind of like the Ackerleys in Tucson. I know the feeling. So
a little side note: during the Vietnam era, 108 Tucson young men were killed in action in Vietnam, and 20 of those were from Pueblo High School.
Right, and I think it was 619 total from Arizona.
637.
Yes, sir. Okay. And when I knew a lot of those guys that I started taking notes every time when I came back and when I got out, and I started taking notes, and every time I had a flashback or whatever, I kind of woke up, and then one day I thought I'd put those notes into some kind of form, and I started writing my book. But and unfortunately, my work took me all over the world in mining.
Right.
So I didn't have a family because it was all in real remote areas where we would build a mine, stay a couple months, wait for the first product, and then they'd move me to a different one. And I went from...
It was almost like you were deployed with the military where you're off and your family's back in Tucson, and here you are.
And they would bring my family there for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, so they got to see the Congo, they got to see Zambia, they got to see the Middle East, they got to see... But every time I took notes, and then one day... I met this guy from the University of Arizona. He said, you know, my guys, when they're, because he was a geologist, and he said, one day, he said, what do you got there? I said, oh, it's a book that I put together. He said, send it to this lady over here that does, she'll put it in a book form. And I said, okay, well, I will. And she told me to go to Green Valley, or not Green Valley, but Sierra Vista to have it printed. And I was shocked when the lady was trying to tell me how many copies I wanted. I said, oh, I just wanted one for me too, for my brothers and sisters, and maybe one for Danny Bonillas. And
and one for your new friend Sixto Molina.
Too. Yeah, and Tini Corral, because they were in this book, and so was a guy named Rosalio Valencia. And so she said, well, you got to have more than that. And I said, well, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And she talked me into quite a bit, but she thought I was owner of the mine. I said, I'm not owner of the mine. I can't afford that kind of book. So,
well, I can tell you from reading your book, I've never been to Vietnam, but in reading your book, you were so explicit in describing what happened. I felt as I was reading the book that I was right there with you. You know, it's incredible.
That's
you
great.
You did a very good job.
Well, thank you for that comment, because there's a lot of people that have told me that, and especially Danny, he always tells me, yeah, I'm on page 220.
So I said, okay. That's great. We'll come back after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about The Shoes of an Uneducated Man with author Vicente Rivera, and we also have Blaze Smith with us from the University of Arizona Vets and ROTC program. We're commemorating the great service of our Tucsonans who lived and fought for our freedom and from the University of Arizona and from the city of Tucson. We're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. We are celebrating Wonder at the University of Arizona in a Memorial Day weekend tradition of thinking about those people who gave their life for our country. In the studio with me is my co-host, Sixto Molina. Good morning again, Sixto.
Good morning.
And hanging over for another session is our good friend Blaze Smith, who is the head of Vets and ROTC at the University of Arizona. Good morning again to you, Blaze.
Howdy. Good morning.
And our special guest is Vicente Rivera, who is the author of The Shoes of an Uneducated Man. He has served our country as a veteran, Marine in Vietnam and wrote a book about the shoes of an uneducated man, a great book about some memories that he had written down about all the people that he knew, especially the Pueblo High Warriors, of which he's one. So thank you for your service to our country. Hey, before we get out of time here, Sixto, let's talk a little bit about Billy Lane Loffler, because I think that's an important thing to commemorate here on Memorial Day.
Yes. Billy Lane Loffler was born in Murray, Kentucky, but then his parents moved to Tucson, Arizona. His dad was one of my coworkers at the Tucson Police Department. His dad was an evidence technician at the Tucson Police Department. And in the early 70s, I remember somebody mentioning that Howard Loffler, my coworker at TPD, that his son had been killed in action in Vietnam and was the awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And because my dad was a World War II veteran who always spoke very highly about the military and people that served their country, I've always regarded military people in very high regards, especially those that receive the highest honor the military can bestow to somebody in the armed forces. And so I've always remembered that. And it turns out Billy attended Sunnyside High School. He dropped out at the age of 17 to join the Army. He was a private first class. He was deployed to Vietnam in 1966. The third day in Vietnam, he was killed in action. And the reason he was killed is because he chose to engage two machine gun nests that had his unit pinned down and some other Marines pinned down. And because of his actions, he saved the lives of many other people. And for that, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1968. In 2005, the Sunnyside School District named one of their brand new middle schools Billy Lane Loffler Middle School. That school is located behind the Triple T truck stop in the Littletown neighborhood near Craycroft and Interstate 10.
And that's a full-fledged Sunnyside Elementary School, beautiful building, and it's about 20 years old now, and it's a beautiful facility over there in Littletown, yeah.
Yes, and I've got to give thanks to several people who helped make that happen. At the time, Police Chief Richard Miranda wrote a letter of support. So did Ed Pastor, Congressman Ed Pastor, and Raul Grijalva, also a congressman, as well as Robert Jaramillo, who put the item on the agenda for the school board to vote on.
That's great. Well, our time has come where we have to wrap it up here. I want to thank Vicente Rivera. Thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for writing the book, The Shoes of an Uneducated Man. Go on Amazon and eBay and find your copy. It's fascinating reading, and as Sixto said, you get pulled into the stories that Vicente. Thank you, Vicente, for your service, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Amir.
Thank you, Blaze Smith from the University of Arizona, ROTC and Vets Program, for the service that you give to our country, both in your deployment and also now working with the young men and women at the University of Arizona. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Sixto, thank you for your service to our country through your service as a first responder for four decades and what you do for the Ackerley family. We appreciate it. We've got a couple of events coming up. We've got the Music Under the Stars on Sunday night. We've got the Mass at Holy Hope Cemetery on Monday morning, and a lot of fun things. Beautiful weather this weekend, and we want to thank our friends from Caruso's and from Hughes Federal Credit Union for sponsoring Wonder at the University of Arizona, where we talk about the good things happening at the U of A in terms of research and outcomes and student support that we have at the U of A. This is The Morning Voice. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Matt Neely. And we'll look forward to hearing your voice on Monday morning with Lydia Randa and Rainmakers.